You know it. It's Chris Michaels. This is the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels, as always, regaling you with brilliant thought, meandering, logical processes, and all-around snark. Reuters. This is from, this is actually something that Greg Bolden from the America M. Bolden podcast had forwarded over from Reuters. China's Wuxi, WXI AppTech shared U.S. client data with Beijing, U.S. intelligence officials told senators. So U.S. intel officials in late February told senators working on a biotech security bill that Chinese pharma firm Wuxi had transferred U.S. intellectual property to Beijing without consent. According to two sources, of course, Wuxi App has denied the whole thing. So this is something that nobody should be surprised about at this point, because as we've gone through plenty of times when we're talking about Dr. Fauci and his legions of icky people, they do not care about secrets. They don't care about the United States. They don't care about us. They only care about money. There is a honest-to-God effort to reduce the human population. We've gone through the myriad of ways that they are trying to do this. So for those of you that don't know what the Wuxi AppTech is, well, I didn't even know it. Global pharmaceutical, biopharmaceutical, and medical device company. And what they do is they enable people to spread their knowledge within those industries at a more rapid pace. Well, why is it a surprise to anybody that the Chinese government would, in fact, get that data, being that it is a Chinese company with its headquarters in Shanghai? This shouldn't come to news to anybody. But when you have a compromised executive branch, and when most of the apparatuses within the federal government are in fact compromised by people that have the same allegiances as the executive branch, hello China, hello Beijing, hello Shanghai, this kind of behavior is completely expected. There's something else going on here, though. We're seeing more and more cases of these tech companies being found guilty of sharing data. Facebook allowed Netflix to read your private messages in barter data exchange. This is from MSN.com. So this isn't some tinfoil hat conspiracy theory news outlet. No, it is coming straight from the horse's mouth. And what happened, to sum up here, in a $100 million deal between Facebook and Netflix, Facebook decided to send all of your Facebook messages to Netflix, and Netflix decided to send your watch history to Facebook. My goodness, what a plethora of information and dick pics they must have seen. And that is completely okay. Once again, you have to assume that if you are on some kind of app, then your data, whether that's in the message portion of the app, whether you think it's private or so on, is going to be sold to somebody. And your data is logged with the federal government, thanks to the NSA and the Patriot Act and so on. There was also another little tidbit that we found out from Dr. Naomi Wolf. This is another one of those things that I'm trying to remember since I was out. She went through the airport. And oddly enough, I went through the airport too. And in the airport, you have to engage in a facial recognition software, I don't know how to call it, vetting process. I guess that's the best way to describe it. So you go up to verify your identity. You have to face this camera, this iPad, and it says right on, oh, your data will be deleted. Your picture is not going to be stored. And they take a picture of your face. They want your biometric data. When I came back into this country, because I went to Mexico on my honeymoon, when I came back into this country, normally you have to go through customs. You have to fill out this stupid piece of paper and says, no, I didn't bring anything back. No, I didn't sell anything. No, I didn't make any money. And on we go. They didn't do that this time. They didn't even ask for my name. You just look at the camera and they say, Mr. DeGeorge, you have anything to declare? No. Okay. Have a nice day. And off you went. They've got your data stored. They know exactly what you're doing when you're doing it. But Naomi Wolf found out that your pictures and your data, which means where you're traveling from, when you're getting back, what flight you're on, what you're doing, on and on, Your data is then sent to a third party, which uses your data to track you and create a dossier on you, a file on you. I would suspect that third party happens to be a government contractor, because the government itself can't necessarily collect and hoover up this data, but its contractors can. And then they can request the from the contractor, oh, hey, do you have that data? And they, oh, yes, of course, here it is, fascist. This is the type of world we're living in. It's extremely frightening to have all of this data on us out there at all times. And I don't understand why people don't understand that, not to be redundant by using the word understand so many times. But it's quite frightening that us, the mere plebs, who, by the way, we are getting pushed into a social credit score system, also aligned with a central banking digital currency. I've railed about that countless times. And now they have all this data at their fingertips and they can do whatever they want with it. Oh, you said something mean about Biden. Oh, boy, we're going to sick the FBI on you and we're going to figure out why you said those mean things. You see that story? That was another frightening thing. Some woman decided to post some icky things about Biden, and the FBI decided to, unannounced, and nor did they say they were from the FBI, if I understand the story correctly, that they were, in fact, investigating this woman for tweeting icky things. So everybody out there, oh, we don't live in a fact. We are voting against fascism. That's why we're voting for Biden. No. The fascism is here. It's now. So stop pretending. Stop putting your head in the sand and stop with the insufferable arrogance that most of these leftists have for the political process and what the face of fascism looks like. It looks like an old man. It actually looks like Barack Obama, if you're really trying to get down to it. I mean, I remember Rush Limbaugh talking about Barack Obama being a community agitator. And that's how he got his start. Well, look across the country, what has been happening since 2016. You see countless examples of community agitation. Look at the LGBTQ thing. Look at being shoved down our throats. Not the people that actually make it up, right? Look at the attorney generals. Look at BLM. Look at Antifa. Look at, LGBT Recognition Day on Easter. Look at all of those things. If that isn't a direct contradiction to tradition, then I don't know what is. It is meant to be community agitation. It is meant to get people upset. It is meant to generate a reaction so that the government, the Biden administration, the Obama 2.0 administration, would then allow themselves to unfetter their watchdogs, unfetter their agents, their fifth columnists throughout this country, and start a Summer of Love 2.0. There you go. I summed it up. And no matter how hard they try, some reason it's not working. Maybe it's because people are finally enlightened enough to see through the mindless BS, especially when it's being thrown at Trump. Oh my goodness, Trump had to pay $454 billion in a bond. Otherwise, Letitia James would seize his properties when she ever decides to put down the sheet cake. But there was a judge that came out and said, well, wait a minute, we're only going to reduce it to $175 million. Well, that made the left so insane. How could this judge do this? Well, maybe it's because Judge Engoron from Great Neck has decided something that is completely, well, I would say, unjust, biased, and borderline illegal to sit there and saddle somebody with a $454 million bond, otherwise we're going to steal your property. Does that sound like the American justice system? Oh, and by the way, there was no jury. It was completely up to the judge, who purposefully valued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million, despite the fact that there's no effing way Mar-a-Lago can be worth $18 million. So how is this going to continue? First off, this is not something that should be even happening. This should go straight to the Supreme Court. And it shouldn't be, oh, well, while you're going through the appeals process, you've got to pay all of the bond. No, that's not how this is supposed to work. What happens is you go through the appeals process. And then once, if you get through it, and if you are found, you know, if they overturn the original ruling, then that's it. That's the whole thing. But if they decide not to overturn the original ruling in the appeals court, then you owe the bond and probably interest, which would get you to the $454 million. He shouldn't even be paying $175 million with all this. What they're trying to do is they're trying to drain Trump's bank account. That's how this is going to work. They know that they've got a lot of people in there that support Trump through and through. And it is going to be extremely hard to campaign when you're dead broke. And that's what they're gunning for. And mark my words, they're going to continue to try to get these rulings, more and more of them, up into Election Day. And that would force Trump to once again put up all of these bonds and completely drain his bank accounts. And the Democrats, knowing that these court cases are pretty much bunk, they don't care if they actually stick. What they're trying to do is tie up his money. They're trying to drain his bank account until after the election. And then they can hear all of those appeals after the election, and then they can just get all thrown out because they know it's probably illegal to do all of this. They know that this is a travesty of justice. So, but that's beside the point. They don't want Trump to be elected, and they don't know how to do it fairly and legally. So this is the kind of crap that we're seeing. And also with the illegal immigration and vote early, vote often with mail-in ballots, I mean, forget about it. The vote harder crowd is going to have a real challenge here to overcome, one, the mail-in ballots, two, all of the bizarre algorithms with the electronic voting machines, no chain of custody, no validation of the ballots with the voter, how many times is a voter going to actually vote, and on we can go. That's one of the reasons why Trump wants to do what Eisenhower did all of those years ago, except he wants to do it on steroids, and that's to get rid of all of the illegal aliens that are here, particularly the criminals. And of course, all that zealousness, that he's just a fascist. Don't you see what he's trying to do? He's Hitler 2.0. He's going to be worse than Goebbels, Hitler, and Dr. Mengele combined. I mean, we read the story from PBS, pure brain-dead simpletons. That they think that Trump is going to round up LGBTQ people and put them into concentration camps, gas them all, get rid of them all. Oh, yeah, still, we're really going along with all this? I mean, what else would somebody do when you've got these horrible criminals? That doesn't mean all of them, but we see plenty of stories where these horrible criminals, squatting is now a huge deal now. Now, I don't mean you pinching a loaf in the corner. I mean that these people will go into an empty home that is owned by somebody for whatever reason, right? Like, you know, maybe go into the Hamptons or in LeBron James's neighborhood. Now he's really upset about that. All of a sudden, he's not a liberal. And they squat in the homes, particularly in New York, where the squatting laws favor the squatters. Somebody illegally goes into your home and sets up shop, and you can't kick them out. And if you try to change the locks, you get arrested. Do you think this is the way America should be run? No, it's not the way America should be run. Putin has had enough of this kind of behavior after that horrible terrorist attack at the Crocus City Hall. Now, they're all blaming this on ISIS, right? Oh, it must be ISIS. ISIS even took the blame for it. They said, yes, it was us. ISIS-K. ISIS-K? I mean, what? How many different versions of ISIS are we up to now? I mean, doesn't it get dizzying and nauseating at this point with all of the claptrap? I mean, you all know what ISIS is. I've explained it many, many times. Set up. It's a mercenary group. It's an Islamic terrorist group set up by Hillary Clinton and the Barack Obama administration. Trump came in, got rid of ISIS. Do you know how he got rid of ISIS? He stopped funding them, stopped training them, stopped arming them. You could find news articles where Turkey and Israel were supporting ISIS members. They were giving them medical supplies and siphoning off ammunition over there. I mean, it's not that hard of a stretch to imagine that, oh, wait a minute, there's a propaganda effort going on here. And ISIS, a radical Muslim group, only ever attacks NATO enemies and other Muslims. Why would a radical Muslim group only ever attack the enemies of the United States and NATO and other Muslims? It don't make sense at all, ever. So that's who supposedly took the blame. You find out through Russian media that a lot of these people were from Central Asia. The four main ones that they arrested, beat up, and put on television showed pictures of the abuse that they suffered, including getting electrocuted by the balls. That was another unpleasant image that I had to endure. But Russia is now rounding up all of these Muslims. And it doesn't mean that they're rounding up millions of people. About 100 or so people. But the transportation centers or the immigration nodes that function within Russia, they're overwhelmed with these people. Why? It's because this is the national makeup of these people, and Putin and Russia aren't going to deal with it. I mean, you have an angry populace that's probably going to be racist against these people, not unlike what the United States experienced after September 11th, especially when there were people, having been in New York at the time, many New Yorkers were confusing anybody with a dark complexion as a Muslim. Whether they're Sikh, whether they're Filipino, it doesn't matter. They were, oh, you're a Muslim. Guy's a Sikh. There's no, it's not even close. Same thing going on here. Russia is slightly ahead of the curve, though, because they realize what happens here. The NATO and the United States and God knows whatever other transnational organization use immigrants as fifth columnists. And being that you're dealing with a transnational organization where the individuals that make up that transnational organization don't necessarily abide by any national boundary. You know, they have a house here, a house there. They can live in the US, they can live in the UK, they can live, you know, wherever they want. You're talking about billionaires and skillionaires. They don't care who is in what country. They're using the migrants, whether that's going into the EU, the United States, Russia, as fifth columnists. Doesn't mean all of them are, but it does mean a decent amount of them are. And what does a fifth columnist do? They create chaos through subversion. Watch what's going to happen this election cycle. Watch what's going to happen if Donald Trump gets elected again, for a third time, and what the United States is going to unleash upon these people. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about major community agitation from the hideous, the disgusting, absolutely disgusting individuals like Barack Obama and Joseph Biden and all those morons. That's what's really going on here. And like I said, they're not going to stop with all of this. They're never going to stop. They're going to try to just screw Trump over more and more every way possible. I mean, I don't know if anybody pays attention to old what's-her-face, Laura Loomer. She's been exposing the judge. She has been unveiling incongruities with Judge Merchan's family members. Judge Merchan being the one that is supposedly going to give a fair, unbiased judgment in the hush money case that Donald Trump is supposedly part of. Now, the hush money case being having slept with Stormy Daniels, Nixium, rumored to be Nixium cult member, along with Mr. Avenatti, and also rumored to be having or have had an affair with Mr. Cohen. Remember Mr. Cohen, the turncoat against Donald Trump, who was found out to be just lying to the court all the time? Well, Trump said, listen, pig, I don't want this to get out. So here's some money. Don't say anything. We'll leave it at this. You go your way, I go my way, and nobody's the wiser. Well, I mean, she just decides to come out and sue him and all this other nonsense. Well, Laura Loomer has reported that Judge Merchan's daughter actually is part of a group that supports Democrats. Her account, Lauren M426, is all over the place. Kamala Harris's campaign, she is being supported by the judge's daughter. Wow. What a small world to be in. How could you say that Judge Merchan is going to be able to issue a fair judgment? You can't. His daughter works for the vice president. His daughter, running this group, has been able to raise $93 million because of this specific Trump case that her father is overseeing. In no other country in the world would this ever be allowed. But here we are in the United States, in a banana republic. Judge Merchant's mother was also, according to Ms. Loomer, hideously overpaid in New York State, and also worked with Letitia James when she first got into office. So you've got his mother, you've got the daughter, all working with Democrats trying to get Trump. And all of the mainstream, no way that could be possible. And so what did the judge do? Because Donald Trump started to talk about all this. Well, he expands the gag order against Trump so that Trump can't even mention any of this extreme bias. And this is how the American justice system is supposed to work? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. This is a banana republic. Luckily, there are a lot of people out there, like Laura Loomer and others, apparently Fox News, despite the fact that they hate Laura Loomer, has finally come out and called the judge out on all of this extreme bias. The Democrats, oh, this is no big deal. There's nothing wrong with a daughter trying to make her livelihood here. Not when you're overseeing the person that allows you to raise $93 million to give to Democrats. No, I'm sorry. You should recuse yourself. Because of your extreme bias, you think you're going to go home to your wife or your daughter with those kinds of beliefs, and those beliefs, one, they don't extend from you, or they don't extend to you. This guy's a sham. The whole thing's a sham. The whole thing's fraudulent. The whole thing should be thrown out. This guy should run for president unabated. Nobody should be bringing in these BS cases against him, and it is just hideously disgusting that these people can sit there with straight faces and smug glances and say that, oh yes, I am unbiased, I am a judge, I am here to uphold the law and bring forth more justice for Americans. Nonsense, and it will not stand for the rest of this year. I'm Chris Michaels, and this is the Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. I'll be back tomorrow, as always, and also elsewhere. Be having a few guests on. I intended to do it this week. I don't think I will be able to, though. Should be an exciting show. I'm going to have a couple of guests on, actually, at the same time. So how about that? A round table discussion of brilliance. So stay tuned for that. You know what to do. I will be back tomorrow.